The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There's so much peace of mind that comes when you can sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there really, really is peace of mind when deep down you sense that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. And there's really just potential for anxiety when you sense that that alignment really isn't quite aligned.
Right, and it's easier said than done. There's so much information coming at us every minute of every day.
Wow, yeah.
It can actually be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services.
And they're all right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every one of them is purported to be right.
That's right.
I mean, how can they all be right?
You can't.
Yeah.
And also, keeping all that information straight can be downright confusing.
Yeah, that's right.
Possibly even scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you're confused, guess what? You don't make good decisions,
nope.
Right? That just
Poor
doesn't happen.
Decisions.
That's right. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be. And it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to Money and Mission episode
12.
12. Is it 12, Joe?
Yes, it is.
It is 12. Episode 12. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
It's so good to be with you here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. And each week in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And partway through the podcast each week, we'll get to our weekly puzzler, which is really just a brain teaser. Right. We found this list of like 1,400 brain teasers and we're working our way through that. It's going to take a long time to get through that. But so we'll share one of those puzzles with you each week. And we don't know, honestly, if it's going to be the kind of thing that's actually interesting to you, but it's interesting to us.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's not, it's on the list.
Yeah,
right.
Joe's pretty good at them, too. He's been getting some lately.
That's right. And we have 1,400 of these things to get through. So
get ready.
Yeah, we're only at episode 12, so stand by.
So stand by. That's right. So, oh, my goodness. What, you know, there's a headline each week that we share, some financial news that just sort of pops out to us.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the big thing this week, Eric?
This week, I would say market volatility. That was a big one.
That was a big one.
All over the news.
That's right. Well, and not just all over the news. You know, if you look at your portfolio regularly, then it was not just on the news.
They hear it on the news, and then they bring up their apps, and then they look at their accounts.
And then you look at your phone. How much
right.
money do I have left? That's right. Joe's over here. Oh, no. What happened to all my money? Okay, where are we at on our outline?
Nope.
We just kind of went down a little tangent, right? But that was front and center.
Yeah,
right?
There's different reasons why, right?
Yeah, I think the S&P was down like 5% over the week.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I think the Fed holding firm on rates might have had something to do with it.
When the market was really saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, the European Central Bank, I mean, they reduced rates and the Canadian Central Bank reduced rates and you know, so rates are being reduced and, hey, wait a minute, you guys are holding steady? I mean, you just might not do what everybody else is doing, right?
Yeah. So there's little rumblings of perhaps a cut next meeting, but.
Perhaps. That's right.
The Fed wants to make sure those targets are met first.
That's right. Yeah. And they keep looking back at targets that we've been referencing over the last number of episodes here on the podcast. And if they're data driven, well, I don't know. I mean, what would you do if you were the Fed? Maybe that's not a fair question.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that next week, right?
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Well, you know, we've talked about the Purchasing Managers Index before.
Mm-hmm.
And the Purchasing Managers Index really is just, it sort of adds up all of the stuff that purchasing managers purchase.
Yep, that's correct.
Right.
Yeah, we talked about that, I think, 2 weeks ago on the show.
Right.
Maybe last week, I don't remember.
Well, no, 2 weeks ago, I think we were talking about the Producer Price Index.
So many acronyms.
That's right. Which really tracks how much they're paying for stuff. So, like, if prices that manufacturers are paying is going up, then eventually that's going to work its way into the things that it's going to work its way into the peanut butter cup index.
Mm-hmm. And the Big Mac index.
And the Big Mac index. That's right. Which is just really our way of saying stuff that you and I pay for each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Purchasing Managers Index. Or no, that's the Producer Price Index.
Yep,
that's
PPI.
Right. PPI, not PMI.
Right.
Right. So the Purchasing Managers Index simply looks at like all the purchasing managers. So again, who's a purchasing manager?
Middle managers at companies that pick up inputs.
Inputs like, you know, somebody over at Hershey Foods goes to work and decides that they need to buy more chocolate.
And they put new orders in, and they have outputs and production that they track.
Right. And so if their company has more demand for their stuff, then they need more raw materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so they buy more.
Mm-hmm.
They buy more stuff. And the basic idea is that when you add up all of the stuff that these purchasing managers purchase across the country, then if they're all purchasing more stuff than they were this same time last year, then we say that the Purchasing Managers Index is
expanding.
That's right.
Yep.
So economic activity is expanding, which means that whoever they bought that stuff from, that company needs to have more help, right? Which translates into jobs, which means the whole economy is expanding. And one thing leads to another, and then we have a growing economy.
And when you say expanding, because there's a few PMI, services, manufacturing, hospital. And when you say expanding, that actually means that their percentage is over 50%, right?
Over 50, yeah.
And below, then it would be contracting.
That's right.
So that middle line is like an equilibrium.
Yeah. It's not really a percent. It's more of an oscillator type of thing where oscillator simply means that it can go from 0 to 100. I have no idea how bad things would be if it was 0.
Mm.
Right? I mean, so at least in my lifetime, I've only ever seen it sort of oscillate back and forth between, you know, like 40 and 60 and so on. But but if it's less than 50, then there is a contraction going on.
And I see two out of the three are less than, well, no, two of the three are above 50. Manufacturing is below, so that's contracting. And services and hospital, that looks like it's expanding a little bit.
Hospital.
Not much.
Mm-hmm.
Very little.
That's right. So manufacturing, again, I mean, let's just kind of break that down. You can break things down into manufacturing, purchasing managers, service purchasing managers, and hospital purchasing managers. But you could also break things down geographically.
Mm-hmm.
Because this whole Purchasing Managers Index is sort of compiled by different Federal Reserve banks around the country. So you have the very large aggregate Purchasing Managers Index, but then you also have like the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index, which keeps track of purchasing activity in the greater Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Atlanta PMI and the Richmond PMI and so on and so forth, right? So geographically, you could say maybe the economy as a whole is contracting, but everything in Richmond, Virginia, in that area is really, really good, right?
Right.
Chicago is horrible, but Richmond is great, or vice versa,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. So, but manufacturing is in a contraction mode.
Yes.
Right.
It is at 46.8, down 1.7% since June.
Since June.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, it, we were, again, we talked about this a few months ago, and it was in contraction mode then, and mm-hmm. it continues to be in contraction mode. And that's, again, that's really important because manufacturing sort of leads everything else. If manufacturing is slowing down and slowing down and slowing down, eventually services are going to slow down as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, employment is going to slow down and so on and so forth. So anyway, so we keep track of the Purchasing Managers Index. But speaking of employment.
Yeah, the jobs report.
Jobs report came out
for
July.
Week.
Yeah. And that was, what was the news on that? Do you remember the number?
4.3% is current.
Oh,
unemployment rate.
Unemployment mm-hmm. is at 4.3.
That's the highest since October in 2021.
Mm. So unemployment is creeping up. But
up
how many?
7.2 total people.
7.2
considered unemployed. Mm-hmm.
Wow. What about total jobs created in July? I think that was 114,000.
Yes.
Which was less than economists were expecting.
Yeah, less than June, which was 179.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, it's 114,000. But like we've said the past couple of weeks, those numbers are normally revised downward.
They're revised downward. Joe remembered that. That's right. It seems like, you know, a month or two down the road, all of a sudden we got the revision and it is usually revised down.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually not really very good news.
No, not, you know, jobs less than expected, unemployment up, manufacturing in contraction mode. Where does that head?
That, you know, somewhere along the way, they will look at saying, hey, we're in a recession, and they'll probably backdate the recession.
Mm, gotcha.
Because in hindsight, everybody will say, oh, that's when the recession started,
mm-hmm.
you know, probably last year sometime
mm-hmm.
in 2023. We should find some good news to talk about.
Next week, we'll bring some of that.
Well,
instead of all these bad reports.
That's right. We're going to dig really hard to try to find some good news to report next week. But, you know, the whole point of this little segment is that we're reporting on things we see in the financial headlines. And so when those things show up, then we'll be talking about that here on the podcast.
We're out of time in this segment, but this is a great week. We have the folks here from Joy to the Berg joining us. So when we come back from this break, we'll be talking to them about what they're doing in the Harrisburg area in terms of the homelessness crisis, which is great news.
Great news that what they're doing at Joy to the Berg. That's right. So stay tuned. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. I messed that up routinely.
No, you're getting better.
I'm getting better, yes. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And each week we talk about biblical principles in wealth management. But today we've got three very special guests here with us. And we hope the story we share today is going to jog your thinking about what it means to be successful and how you can go about getting involved as well. So our three very special guests, Nick Mucci.
Hey, great to be here.
And Greg Platzer.
Thanks for having me.
And Joe Trojak.
Hi, everyone.
And,
thank you, gentlemen.
And you guys are involved in solving a very interesting problem or addressing a very interesting problem. Who wants to start first? Nick, do you want to tell us?
Yeah, sure. I can share about that. Yeah. Yeah. So we are a part of an initiative called Joy to the Berg. Joy to the Berg exists to come alongside those who are experiencing homelessness.
Berg, like B-U-R-G.
B-U-R-G.
Yeah. Harrisburg.
Harrisburg. Right.
Okay, good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not like Pittsburgh with the H, right. But Harrisburg without the H.
We don't need an H in Harrisburg.
Yeah,
that's right.
No. We already have one. There's one at the beginning. But it's Joy to the Berg here in Harrisburg. So you can come alongside those who are experiencing homelessness. And so Joy to the Berg exists because musicians saw a reality and a problem and said, hey, we can do something here.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. We've got more money flowing around in our country today than probably any economy ever in the history of the world. And still, we have this thing called homeless.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, homelessness is, it's complex, right? There's no one story of an individual or a family experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's an individual or a parent with some children, it all looks different. We've had a young mother come to our office holding her two-year-old after spending time sleeping in parks and abandoned buildings. And we've also worked with those who are older adults who are battling addiction. It is such a wide range of those who are experiencing homelessness. It's a complex issue.
Right. Now, Nick, I mean, we'll talk more about how you're involved, but I mean, you're with Christian Churches United.
Yes.
So you kind of see homeless from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Greg, you're a guitar player.
I have been accused of that. Yes,
I've been accused of that. So, you know, what do you see from that? I mean, that's a totally different way of coming at it, right? But what do you see from?
Well, you can't not see it. Anybody that doesn't see it is focused on the wrong things, in my opinion.
Hmm.
This whole Joy to the Berg thing came about because our good friend Sheldon Jones and I had a conversation. I used to own a guitar shop, and he was taking guitar lessons. And he said, you know, I've been very fortunate in my life, and I want to give back. And he said, I'd like to do something for charity, and I'd like it to involve musicians.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And between the two of us, we developed this idea if we could get local musicians to record music and then sell this music to end users, and then all of the profits go to help those that can't help themselves.
Right.
And from there, it developed into the organization we know as Joy to the Berg.
Right. Yeah.
But it really was Sheldon Jones. It was his idea and his vision. And he had moved to the area from another area, but he had noticed that there was definitely a void.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done is just try to fill that void. And the musician community is very tight-knit, very it's more family than a lot of families.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has drawn together. There's almost a clamor to be involved now, which is what we wanted. We wanted this to be something that people would try to attain instead of, you know, being bothered into asking if they would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And how much has been raised, Mr. Mucci?
Yeah, over $187,000 over 5 years.
And I call that a good start.
That's a good start.
Good start.
That's right. Yeah.
Good start.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take some time to really unpack that as we go here. But, you know, for our listeners, again, I mean, Greg, you said it's, how can you not notice it? Right?
Yeah, I mean.
But I do think sometimes we live in, it's almost like there's two different worlds that coexist right next to each other, right? Like
absolutely.
I could be at the grocery store doing my weekly shopping, and somebody who's homeless might be walking down, you know, the aisle right behind me.
Mm-hmm. And your worlds will gently collide.
Yeah, but if I don't know what I'm looking at or whatever, I may not even be aware of that, right?
Absolutely. There's a good analogy. I'm a motorcyclist, and when you're going down a road, most of us, we get into our car and we carry our environment with us. We leave our air-conditioned house if we're lucky enough to have air conditioning. We get into our air-conditioned car if we're lucky enough to have air conditioning. And we just stay in our little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
We get out of our big bubble into our temporary bubble. Then we go to our work bubble and
That's
blah, blah,
right.
blah.
That's right.
And a lot of people, the windows in their car might as well be solid. They don't look outside of their
right.
car.
That's right.
When you're riding a motorcycle, everything's a threat and you're looking around.
Mm.
And you notice things that you don't notice in a car. And if everybody that was driving a car would use that mindset, would look around a lot more, I think the world would be a better off.
It would be a better place. Yeah.
Greg, I think that's a great analogy. I mean,
thank
the structure. You're welcome. The structure of our world, about
noted
today.
So noted.
Right. So
right.
noted. Right. Yeah, so noted. Me. Greg, well done. That was Greg Platzer's motorcycle analogy.
Stop patting me on the head, Nick.
Yeah. No, but I think it's the reality of our culture, where mm-hmm. we live, how we go about life. There are routines, there are rhythms, and there are spaces that we consistently go in, and we don't often look outside of that. We don't see outside of that. If it's not in my backyard, if it's not directly affecting me, mm-hmm. it's very easy for every one of us to not consider it
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, yeah. So Joe Trojak.
Yes.
Not Joe Murphy. Joe Murphy is sitting on that side of the studio, and that's where he'll stay for now, right, Joe?
Joe, not Murphy.
Joe, not Murphy. That's right. So, again, so you do this recording studio thing, mm-hmm. and, you know, what's your intersection with homelessness and how you observe that?
A lot of musicians, we're like, so you have this problem. How can we help? And help in a way that's actually going to deliver. Not just money and someone skimming. Deliver. So I get this phone call from Lisa Campbell. We've got this guy, Sheldon, here, and this is over at Hack, where mm-hmm. I teach. And they're going to put on this concert, and they need a recording studio to record some of the songs for Christmas. So Sheldon gets in touch with me, and sure enough, I mean, your band came in several times. Kane and Lance come in, and we just said, okay, well, here's the situation. We're going to help you out. And we did the recordings, and mm-hmm. I figured, okay, let's see how this goes. Maybe he'll make $4,000, $5,000. It's a beautiful idea.
Right.
Bingo. Sold out show, $20,000. I'm like, okay, wow. Now we're on to something.
Now we're on to something.
So that's right. Year one.
Yeah.
And then year two with COVID became really challenging. Couldn't do a concert. Couldn't mm-hmm. do this.
Yeah.
So we turned our studio into a video studio.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just, Jerry Kambick came in, all kinds of cameras, and how can we, you know, shoot each band doing their song, and then Glenn Hamilton's in, and then they're setting everything up for ABC 27.
Right, yeah. So, and I remember that, yeah.
So that was the tricky year because, oh, man, we can't do what we did before, and we reinvented it to get us through the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, you said something that I really wanted to kind of pull out, at least in this first little segment. You said deliver, like not just hand out money, right, Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But because the homeless issue is so complex, right? When someone's
Absolutely.
Homeless, there's just different issues. And I mean, if they get some money, maybe it puts a little Band-Aid on it for a day or two or a week or whatever, but it doesn't really help. Right.
Right. And I think one of the things that has been absolutely incredible about Joy to the Berg is what it has delivered. 2019, the very first album, because of that first album, that first concert, a women's overnight shelter was opened.
Mm-hmm.
Like where it did not exist before, this very practical need that so many had because of that very first album. It delivered this women's overnight shelter that now continues to operate. And there's even conversations now that very shelter might expand beyond just the winter season.
Oh, wow. So there's shelters around the Harrisburg area that are integrally involved, right, with the lives of these people to help them kind of get back on track.
Yeah, there are day shelters. There's multiple organizations. The women's overnight shelter, this is a shelter that operates out of the basement of a church. Mm-hmm. And so one of the churches in the city opens up their basement so that women can have a space to rest out of the cold and also be able to encounter staff and other women, volunteers, other churches who are there saying, hey, we believe in you. And we believe that this is not the end of your journey, that this is not your forever reality. But we're going to walk with you for however long you are in this space and help you see what could be.
That's right. So really, I mean, absent what those shelters are doing and absent what you guys are doing, there are Christian Churches United. I mean, people are just literally, they're sleeping on the street, maybe in a tent, maybe in a box, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe nothing, right? Just on the street.
Yeah.
It's too many people doing it.
Whether it's at the Tent City or in abandoned buildings or on front stoops of businesses and other buildings around the city or in their car, you know, there are many people who, who it's not always seen that they are homeless because they're resting in their car, mm-hmm. or they have somebody who's letting them couch surf. And mm-hmm. so they might be on somebody's couch, but that's not their permanent place. And it's only a matter of time until they have to move on. And
what is couch surfing?
Well, couch surfing is like, if I don't have my own space, I don't have my own home to rest in, I call up a friend and say, hey, I need a spot to mm-hmm. rest for a little while. And most people would say, oh, yeah, absolutely, come spend the night. Well, that one night could turn into a week, could turn into 2 weeks. Now we're pushing a month. And it's like, well, I'm like, hey, how long are you going to be here? Do we need to start talking about rent? Like, and often what happens is, in order for people to not wear out their welcome and to not ruin relationships, they will stay with somebody for a week.
Right.
They'll go back on the street.
Right.
Then they'll go look for somebody else. And so you're just hopping from couch to couch.
Yeah. So the problem is really, I mean, there's a lot of different moving parts in that, and it touches many different aspects of people's lives. And but when we come back from our break, we want to just kind of talk to you guys about your stories. Like, how did you intersect? And it's so fascinating to me how stories come together, people's paths cross. So we want to take some time to talk about that. And then we'll also talk more later in the podcast here about some of the great things that are happening already. So stay tuned. Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys, we appreciate it. It is a great story. But we need to take a quick break. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. And today,
we have Joy to the Berg.
Joy to the Berg, yeah. And right here with us, Joe Trojak, Nick Mucci, and Greg Platzer. And we've been talking about homelessness and how Joy to the Berg's vision is to really be involved in doing something about that problem. But guys, you know, you each come from totally different places, right? Mm-hmm. Greg, you're a guitarist and no dobro or anything on that, or steel guitar, just guitar. Mm-hmm.
Just yeah, basic guitar.
I've heard you guys play, so. Okay, we'll keep moving. What? No, if you ever heard, what's the name of your band?
Well, I was in Grumpy Old Men, and that's what you heard. But now I have an amazing band called Groove Rebels.
Yeah,
and we
go to their shows, listen to them. They're
you guys,
awesome.
You guys are great. Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. You put on a great show.
Thank
and,
you.
Yeah,
thank
really
you.
Enjoy what you guys do. And Joe Trojak, you are. Do you play in a band as well, or do you just
right now? My main musical thing is I'm the music director and pipe organist at Seven Sorrows Church in Middletown.
Okay.
So on most weekends, 4:30 mass, 8:00 mass, 10:30 mass, weddings, funerals, and then choir comes in. That will start up in September.
Pipe organ,
yes.
That's wow. So cool.
So if you want actual real pipes and electronics.
That's awesome.
And the first thing I have to do at 7:15 is to adjust the electronics to match the physicalness of what the pipes have done. Like right now, it's right around noon because it's hot.
Uh-huh.
It can get really, really cold. Like we had some of those cold snaps right at Christmas.
Right.
The whole way at 9:00, it was, you have to really lower it down. But thankfully, you could do that. Otherwise, it would sound like a carnival,
right?
Which is when it sounds right.
Yeah. So you're doing, I mean, if you want to hear great pipe organ music,
Seven Sorrows Church.
Yes.
Seven.
Yeah. There you go.
Come. Our masses, we have great cantors, good choir, and, you know, Father Sod's doing an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's 700 to 1,200 people a weekend, depending upon. You know, what's happening.
Right. And you know, you have to, after we finish up this podcast, you really have to kind of share around there and make sure that the folks are tuning in to Holy Family Radio.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, we do have fans there. We do have fans.
We have fans there for sure. Nick, so it's Christian Churches United.
Yeah, I'm not a musician.
You're just not a musician.
No, I'm not. I play guitar for fun. I taught myself thanks to YouTube, but I don't anticipate Greg ever asking me to come and record an album, because that's not That's not me.
You
right?
would need
that's,
forgiveness.
Right. Exactly. Right. Right. Exactly.
There's not enough forgiveness.
There's not enough forgiveness. Yeah. That's right.
That's not my wiring. You right. know, I've been working in the nonprofit world my whole life, whether that's been as a pastor at churches or working in various nonprofits.
Yeah. But somewhere along the way, you know, we mentioned Sheldon Jones. Mm-hmm. And Sheldon Jones moved to Harrisburg and he saw this homelessness problem and he said, we need to do something about this. Right. At which point he reached out to you, Greg. Right.
Yes, sir.
And at that point, I guess you had a decision to make as to whether or not you were going to just say, nope, you know, I'm a musician. I'm a band. I run the music store. Or no, you know what? I'm going to carve out a little bit of time here to help Sheldon.
It wasn't run. Even a question.
It wasn't even a question.
It wasn't even a question. Mm-hmm. Musicians are basically, we are second-class citizens in the eyes of most people. Mm-hmm. We're good for entertainment purposes and otherwise ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a different viewpoint. And musicians, in general, we stick together and we support each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when Sheldon had the idea and he thought, you know, it'd be really cool to get the musician community. And the word community really, really does apply when you're talking about musicians. And I said, well, I know people. Mm-hmm. And I started calling people. And honestly, I wasn't sure what the reaction would be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was unilateral. Everybody stepped right up, said, I would love to be involved. I would love to do something. Because compassion is a big part of musical creation.
Yeah.
And yeah. So what we did was we mobilized an army of people mm-hmm. that could make a difference that up until the point that they were asked, didn't realize that they had the tools.
Right.
And so it really is much bigger than, you know, if you talk about individual names like Sheldon or Trojak or Platzer or whatever, it's so much bigger than any one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I would love to see this not only go national, but I would love to see an international movement where this becomes a model because we have proven that it can be successful.
Yeah.
And I would love to see this become a model that gets copied outright. Anybody out there that wants to outright copy what we're doing, please do it.
Right, right. But, you know, you said something there that we've talked over the last several episodes here. We've been talking about how to define success and how to move forward in understanding, you know, accomplishing our...
Just be open to it.
The mission. But you said, you know, you started making calls.
Yes, sir.
You actually did something about it, right? Which is a point that we've made here on the podcast. You have to take some action and towards where it is you're trying to go. If you didn't start making those calls, nothing would have happened.
You're going to fail at everything you don't do.
Mm-hmm. That's right. If you don't do something about it.
Truth.
That's right.
Truth.
That's absolutely right. So, Joe, do you think our pipe organists second class, or is that relegated?
No, those guys are.
Is that relegated to Southern?
They're doing
rockers,
four
right?
appendages.
Oh my! But I see exactly what Greg means. But sometimes there's the musician. What's he really do for a living? You know, all those sort of things. And I've been blessed because I didn't just approach doing the recording studio with mm-hmm. music. I did a lot of technical things, and since you're talking about investments, I was the editor for Investors Hotline back in the days of cassette magazines.
Oh, wow.
So I learned quite a bit about investing and then did one for the Re-Cyberspace. So I learned a lot of different things, you know, to do and to keep the studio running, not just waiting for, you know, the next musical act mm-hmm. to come through.
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, really helped with that. But as this project came together,
yeah. Who made the call to you?
Lisa Campbell, who was working at Hack, said, "We got this guy Sheldon, and they need some studio time for a few of these musicians who didn't have a home studio." So right. we helped them out. Canaan Land, your band, Anthony
Perucci.
But he goes by Tony Wayne. Wayne now.
Tony Wayne.
Okay. Yeah, so and a really awesome guitarist, yeah, Milton Hershey, LBC, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Almost as good as Nick Mucci.
Almost. That's right.
And, you know, Canaan Land, all these, like, Canaan Land's a great example. Three guys, really good bluegrass musicians mm-hmm. doing an original song. And the we record and this is good. Then we come, we do the first show. You were the stage manager, Greg, that year.
Yes, sir.
And then I came in and I played with Tony's piece. But Cain and Lamb was like the second or third act, and the whole crowd just jumped. You could hear them playing so well, almost like, oh dear, now we have to go out there. But I didn't really care about that. I just cared, this thing is coming together. This thing, Joy to the Berg, is going to work.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that was a wonderful thing.
So how did Hack get involved?
They hosted the first concert.
We asked them.
We asked them. Somebody picked up the phone and made a call. Yeah. And of course, Ski is over there doing a great job of supporting. But again, it's just fascinating to me how stories come together like this. People putting their efforts together, maybe from different, persuasions, different walks of life, whatever, and coming together and making something happen like that. Nick, how did you get involved with Christian Churches United?
Yeah. So, for me, I was feeling a pull from God to engage around issues of the housing crisis. I've been a pastor mainly in communities, in inner city communities, low income communities, and so I've had a front row seat to the housing crisis. Mm-hmm. And so when I was looking for a way to kind of step into being involved here in Harrisburg within that, I was talking with a buddy and he told me about the position with Christian Churches United and said, Nick, I think you would do a great job over there as the director of development. And so my job is, I call myself the chief storyteller. Because when you say director of development, people tend to walk away because you're like, oh, you're the fundraising guy. Let me go over here. But as the chief storyteller, I believe that part of my job is to tell of the good news, right? Tell the good that's happening. Let me talk about Joy to the Berg. Let me talk about Greg and Joe and the goods and Sheldon. And then let me say, how do you see your story becoming a part of this?
That's right.
Like, what is your part in this story? Because I do think very much so that no matter who you are, you've been created to accomplish something and to do something. Matthew 25, when Jesus tells the parable of the talents and he talks about like getting the five or the three, the two, like forget the numbers for a minute. It says that he gave to each servant just out of who they are, like appropriate to who they are. So forget the numbers, forget the quantifying. Each of us has been made perfectly on purpose for a purpose with specific roles and talents. And every single one of them are to be used in a way that brings hope, that brings beauty, that brings the kingdom on heaven or on earth as it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, for our listeners, last week, right, in episode 11, wasn't it? We were talking with Cody Hobelman about Finish Lines, and Cody said something so important that ties to what you just said. God gives us resources and talents, and that is his way of inviting us into his story.
Absolutely.
Right, and what he's trying to get accomplished there. So doesn't matter how big or small or how insignificant it might feel, whatever you have, as if you're listening to this podcast, whatever you have, God's inviting you into his story.
Yes.
Right. And so so keep listening. If you didn't listen to last week's podcast, you can look it up here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Our website.
It's on our website too, right? Wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. Go up to resources in the toolbar at the top and click on podcasts. And where else?
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can consume your podcast.
Anywhere you can consume podcasts, right? So, we are almost out of time here. We do want to spend time in the last segment really talking about the good things that are happening, how people can get in touch, and if there's something people can do to actually help as well. So, again, you're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.
welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management from a biblical perspective and incorporating biblical principles and wisdom. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And you haven't gotten a chance to say very much this week.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I'm just hanging out. It's a good story. There's a lot going on.
That's right. There are a lot of moving parts. Joe Trojak, Nick Mucci, and Greg Platzer are our guests today, talking about how Joy to the Berg is helping to make a really impactful difference in for homeless folks in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And, you know, I am standing here looking at a stack of CDs that everyone says Joy to the Berg on it. Now, the first couple have, it just says Joy to the Berg, and then it says Joy to the Berg again. The first one didn't have a date.
It did not have a date. No,
then
we,
the next
we didn't
one
think
is,
it was going to, we didn't know if we were going to be able to sustain it or not. So we were just focused on getting through the concert.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the big surprise was not only was the concert a success, but everybody that was involved said, I want to do it again.
I want to do it again. So then it was Joy to the Berg 2020. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Joy to the Berg 2021 and 2022 and 2023. And every one of those turned into a CD. And it also turned into like downloadable.
Downloadable content. You can download the music through the joytotheberg.com website. You go through there, you can get it off Shopify.
Right.
And then
so
you
what,
can
what's the
it.
Website again?
Yes, joytotheberg.com.
www.joytotheberg.com.
B-U-R-G.
B-U-R-G.
No H.
No H.
No H. That's right.
We covered that.
That's right. We covered that before. So the project has really raised a lot of money, and money like that can only be raised because there are incredible sponsors as well.
Yeah, so we've raised over $187,000 through 5 years, and there have been corporate sponsors, places like Abrams and Weekly Pet Store as a sponsor. Then you have Ollie's, UPMC, Capital Blue, BRP Entertainment, Rotary. Each of them have been corporate sponsors of this. And then you have places like Lamar Advertising, who gives billboards to let people know about it. Carnes, who says, yes, we can sell these through our store. And so during the holiday season, you can go to Carnes. And so all of these sponsors have sponsored this project so that when you buy an album, when you buy the downloads, every dollar that you put into that goes straight to the street outreach work and the winter overnight shelters that Joy to the Berg supports.
So if I buy a CD or I pay for a download, 100% of what I pay goes to raising money for homeless initiatives and helping homeless folks. Absolutely. You know what I really like, though? I mean, I'm a musician, and I enjoy playing Christmas music, and people always tell me because July rolls around, and I'm like, you know, it's hot out there. Like, if we had to shovel snow in this weather, it would be really tough, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't move to Australia.
Don't move to Australia. But I, you know, and every year my family tells me, hey, when July rolls around, go ahead and play Christmas music. And then when I do it, they're like, no, what are you doing playing Christmas music? But some people really like listening to Christmas music in the middle of the year, right?
Christmas in July is a thing.
Yep. And that's one of the things that every listener, you know these people, everyone, first of all, if you enjoy Christmas music, give it a whirl. Check it out. Listen to it. Be part of the show and everything. But we're always searching.
But we have one problem.
What's
it's
that?
Not July anymore. I mean, now it's August. Yeah. So Christmas
Close
in
enough.
August, right?
Well, I mean, you can still do Christmas in August.
Splitting hair is good.
But there are people all over this planet and electronically who could find us who love Christmas music all the time.
Right.
That's, you know, a big thing. I'm always pushing for it because I've had a few of them in my classes.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, it's the joy. It's the letting go of anxiety, the beauty of the season. Mm-hmm. It just really touches them. and it, musically good.
We all have those friends who post on social media 243 days until Christmas.
There are
those folks out there.
I did 263 days till Christmas.
Yeah, 364 days till Christmas.
But the other thing is, a lot of the artists on these recordings, with the bands and the stuff I've done, what we try to do is we try to give you a different take. So it might be a song you've heard over and over, but man, it doesn't sound like Dean Martin. You know, so the joy is we've got so many amazing, wonderful, creative musicians contributing their talents to this, that when you listen to it, you're not going to get the same thing that you listen to in your grandmother's car. You're going to get something that's going to challenge you, that's going to excite you, and something that you're going to not only want to listen to, but share.
Yeah, and probably different than like Joe doing it on the pipe organ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tell you, a whole record of Joe on the pipe organ would be cool. That would be great. Joy to the Berg 75, I'm talking 2175.
The three songs that I approached on Joy to the Berg were things that were never done. The first, we never had kits.
Mm-hmm.
So we did O Come Little Children. Then we never had pipe organ.
Right.
So we got the choir together and we did O Come All We Faithful. And then last year, we never did solo piano. So I just did O Come, O Come Emmanuel. And this year, I'm setting aside, because I know there's a lot of other musicians that I work with, they're submitting songs.
Right.
Let's get new, fresh blood to keep this thing changing
around. That's right. That's right. And you know, when you go to www.joytotheberg.com. How many years worth of music can you download?
So there are five albums that you can download. And now there is a sixth album, and you can't download it. It is a best of vinyl.
Best of vinyl.
Best of vinyl that you also can get at joytotheberg.com. This vinyl celebrates those musicians who are on multiple years of the album. And so that vinyl will be released on August 19th.
Yeah. You know, this story is a great example. You know, we talk all the time. We've said we pray all the time. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And now the theologians really hate me. Right, because I stop right there and I say, when that happens, it doesn't look like theology, right? It looks like things like this, right?
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Where you can you're entertaining you and your family, but the money you spent is going to an amazing project that is bringing God's kingdom to earth for these people right here. So there's a concert as well.
Yes, the every year
more than one.
Yeah, every year there is a concert. You know, this year for the best of the vinyl release, we're gonna have a release party on August 19th at the Wharf. But every year during the holiday season, there is a concert celebrating the new album, and that'll be on December 15th at the Inglewood in Hershey.
The
Inglewood in Hershey.
Venue. Great location.
Great spot. Great food. They've been phenomenal. Friendly. And here's musician friendly, absolutely. And here's another business that is offering up their space to be a part of this project.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose money and they'll be happy about it.
Yep.
They're going to lose money and they'll happy about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Although the interesting thing, though, in that is that, as we've said, you know, everything here belongs to God.
No question.
So, absolutely. So when a business puts money in, they're not really losing money. They're directing a resource in a direction, right?
Let's look at this in a practical manner if we can.
Uh-huh.
They will not make a profit that night.
That's right.
But what they will do is share goodwill and love.
Mm-hmm.
That kingdom investment, even those who don't realize that they're making a kingdom investment, guess what? You're making a kingdom investment.
That's right. By going to a concert,
yep.
By downloading all the music, by buying every single one of those CDs, yes, you're absolutely making a kingdom investment. Do you find, I know Joy to the Berg has been around for what, 5-6 years now?
No, this is the sixth year, yeah.
Do you still run into people who say, never?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
That's an ongoing problem.
Absolutely. And that's where, like, I'm thankful for spaces like this, WHYF, and places like The River and ABC 27, who give us an opportunity to come and share, to tell the story, to have the artists on. Just this past Monday on Good Day PA, Canaan's Land and I were on Good Day PA in July to talk about talk about Joy to the Berg, and they played Go Tell It on the Mountain on
in July. So wow. So if you know if you're listening to this podcast, we're just asking you, share it around, right? Blast it out, send it to all of your friends, people who aren't your friends, whatever.
they can become your friends.
They can become your friends. That's right.
Everybody has potential to be a friend. That's all you have to do is approach them.
That's exactly right. And there are tens of thousands of people here in central Pennsylvania. And, you know, we'd love for every single person to hear this story and buy a CD, too. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be great. Absolutely. Just buy all of it. Everyone.
That's right. Just blow the top off of that. So, well, my goodness, you know, we have just about 2 minutes left. And before, I'm just going to open it wide up and say, you know, with 2 minutes left, what thoughts would you like to let hear for anyone who's listening? Anything we didn't say before? We've got 2 minutes to fill.
Glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. God.
Absolutely.
It was brought up earlier, you know, how's God put us to work? And this has put a lot of us musicians who knew each other and now became even closer friends. Greg and I never met each other. Now we're buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you say that.
and that's also the other thing, the banter back and forth.
Sure.
You know, that's just a wonderful thing. And, you know, then you just start thinking about, you know, the cots, the sleeping arrangements, and then how it goes and even beyond that. And at Seven Sorrows, we started a thing called Off the Streets, where we're helping people to establish into apartments, building on what Christian Churches United and Joy to the Berg do. Mm-hmm. So, and that all is just a wonderful thing.
And I would just say one last thing that, you know, we talked about this being something that is accomplishing things, that it's making a difference. And I just want to share that, again, a women's shelter was opened because of this project. We've been able to provide over 600 people over the last 5 years with 14,000 plus nights of sleeping in a warm bed with staff support because of this project.
Because one guy had an idea.
Because one guy had an idea.
And we did something about it.
Exactly.
Took action.
Yep.
Right? Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. And who knows where that kind of story would ever head. It's the same kind of thing that happened when the Ursuline sisters did something about it. That turned into Catholic Charities. Tom Monahan, Domino's Pizza, Ave Maria University. You just need to get up and do something about it. So reach out, go to joytotheberg.com. Check out the podcasts here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. It's been good to be here with you again today. God bless, and we'll talk with you next week.